It's so very good to see everybody here this morning. As I'm looking out in the audience, I see we do have some people that are visiting. Some of you, I think, for the very first time. It is always our intention and always our desire to make those of you that are visiting to feel so welcome that hopefully you will want to come back and worship God together with us again. And if you're willing to study with us from the Scriptures. If you did not get a copy of the sermon outline, if you just take your Bible and be turning over to Ephesians chapter 2, this is going to be the base text around which we're going to be building our sermon this morning. As I was working up the sermon this week, I came to think to myself that I believe this is probably one of the more important sermons I've ever preached. Because what we're going to be doing in our sermon this morning, we're going to be trying to explain how it is that we're saved. If you desire to be saved, you desire to go to heaven, you need to listen to this sermon. We're going to start, as I said, in Ephesians chapter 2 now, beginning here in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now I'm going to stop right there because we need to define a few terms. When we talk about mercy, basically this is when you do not receive the punishment that you do deserve. Whenever a person commits a crime, and they go before a judge and they're found guilty, they do not say to the judge, "Have grace on me." What do they say to the judge is, "Have mercy on me. I'm guilty, I deserve the punishment, but please do not give me the punishment that I deserve." That's what mercy is. But he goes on, he describes here in the text and explains in the text here what it is that is driving God's mercy and grace. What is behind God's mercy and grace is his great love with which he loved us. And then he goes on very explicitly and he states, "By grace you have been saved." Grace is the flip side of mercy. Mercy is when you do not receive the punishment that you do deserve. Grace is when you receive blessings, favor, that you do not deserve at all. It's unmerited. You deserve punishment. God doesn't give you the punishment that you do deserve. Instead, he gives you blessings. That's what grace is. Blessings that God is showering upon you and giving you that you have not earned, you do not deserve, never will deserve. He continues here in verse 6 and he says, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, this is a gift of God." So here again in verse 8, he states very explicitly, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." What we're going to be doing in our sermon here this morning, we're going to be taking this text here, and we're going to be breaking it down literally a phrase at a time to come to understand what this text in the Word of God is talking about, so we can understand exactly what is required of us for us to be saved. Sometimes when people read this text, unfortunately, they stop there. And they do not go to the verses preceding after that. In verse 9, he says, "Not of works that anyone should boast." But he continues in verse 10 and says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." As I said, sometimes when people read this text, especially people that are Calvinists, they like to stop right there in verse 9. And they say, "See, it's not of works, so therefore it hasn't got anything to do with any of your actions, so therefore you ain't got to be baptized." Well, what about verse 10? You need to read verse 10 as well. And we're going to come back to this text later on. We're going to, as I said, break it down literally a verse at a time, a phrase at a time, so that we can understand how we are saved. First of all, I would like to talk to you about what grace is not. Because this is important to understand. When you talk with some folks about this text, they apply wrong definitions to the words. And when you do not have the right definition to the word, you're missing the meaning of the text completely. And so what I want to talk to you about is what grace is not. Here comes a quotation about what irresistible grace is according to them. "Irresistible grace means that when God undertakes to save a person by his grace or unmerited favor, that grace is invincible. Even in making every effort, a person could not refuse it. Therefore, no credit should be due for accepting it. This is the Calvinist perspective of grace. They refer to it as irresistible grace. Now, he's correct as far as he goes when he describes grace as unmerited favor. That is correct. But what he says after this is completely, totally, absolutely wrong. When he says that grace is invincible, even in making every effort, a person could not refuse it. Grace is not irresistible. You are not forced to come to God. We are not programmed robots being forced to love God and glorify God. Again, looking at this phrase, that grace is invincible, even in making every effort, a person could not refuse it. Well, just one verse will blow that out of the water. Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. You can resist the Holy Spirit. That's just the point I need to make. When people think of grace as some mystical force that you're going down the road and it hits you and you're, oh, I'm saved. A lot of times in some of the denominations, whenever someone wants to be saved, they will say, tell us about your saving experience. Tell us about what happened to you. Now, whenever they're asking you this question, they want to know what happened to you when the irresistible grace hit you. Talk to us about it. I'm sorry. That is not in the Word of God anywhere. That is from the fabrication of the imaginations and the mind of men. That is not what grace is. You're not driving down the road and boom, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember one time this guy was out here in the parking lot. I was first started preaching here and I heard some big noise. And I came here and there was a guy out here in the parking lot screaming and hollering, shaking on the ground like he was an epileptic. And I said, is he okay? And they said, oh, he's all right. The Holy Spirit's falling on him. And I said, well, it sounded like a rock fell on him. And when I said that, he just kind of looked at me and he got up and he was okay and he got in the car and he drove off. Folks, that's not how you're saved. You're not driving down the road and all of a sudden you start, ah! No, that's not grace. That is a lie from Satan. You believe that's the truth about how you're saved, you've missed it. Completely. Because that's not grace. That's not how we're saved. You can resist the Holy Spirit. You can say no to God. You're not programmed robots. Now then, that we've nailed down what grace is not, let's study the Scriptures and find out what grace is and how we are saved by grace. To do so, we're simply going to study two texts, one in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the other in Romans chapter 3. And we're going to be doing some cross-referencing between the two texts, again, just to help you come to understand how you are saved by grace through faith. Starting here now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says here, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, stop right there. At the very beginning, he explains, all things are of God. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about grace. It's from God's end, completely. This is what God is doing for us and has done for us. And he goes on further, and he talks about how he has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what God did for us by grace. He is reconciling us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Continuing now in verse 19. That is that in God, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing the trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now let's take verse 19 and just break it down. Again, this is what God's done for us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That's what God did by grace. He is reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. And he talks about as a result of this, he's not imputing their trespasses to them. He's forgiven us of our sins. Our sins being forgiven is by grace. And not only that, he talks about how he's committed to them the word of reconciliation. Now, we're going to come back and focus on the close of this verse several times because I'm wanting you to see that within the context of God's grace being discussed, it talks about Christ crucified. Through Christ crucified, God is reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing our trespasses to us, but also at the same time, He has given us the word of reconciliation by grace. Please let this sink in. Not only is Christ crucified by grace, the Bible is by grace. The Word of God being given to us, God even speaking to us and revealing us the gospel of reconciliation is also by grace. He continues in the text here, now going back to verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now notice verse 21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that He might become the righteousness of God in Him. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. So here we see in verse 21, again, He's made us who knew no sin. He made Christ who knew no sin to be sin for us. Not only that, we can become righteous, the righteousness of God through Christ. But please notice verse 1 of chapter 6. He pleads with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The point I'm trying to make is everything stated in all the verses before this is the grace of God. You want to know what the grace of God is? You read that text right there and you'll understand what God has done for us. He is reconciling us to Him through Jesus Christ, Christ crucified. Through Christ crucified, He has made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. And He has given us the word of reconciliation. That is the grace of God. Now then, let's cross-reference that, if you will, to Romans. Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right there, he's described the problem with us. Now you need to understand, if we get what we deserve, everybody here will go to hell. That's just the end of it. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And as a consequence, that separates us from God. But he goes on further, and then here in verse 24 it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness because of His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. And so what I just did there was just take this text, by the way, what I'm doing here on the overhead, I'm just taking that verse and breaking it down a phrase at a time. We English, we like short sentences. You know, see, spot, run. In Greek, they love long sentences. Where they take a clause and a phrase and just kind of stack it on and stack it on and stack it on and stack it on. And the problem with that is our English brains start cramping. And we start going, oh, what? Oh, too many words. Overload. And so that is why I take these sentences and break them down the way I do. All I've done here is take that text and break it down. When he talks about being justified freely by His grace. Okay, I can handle that sentence. That's short enough. So it's by grace and it's freely. And how He's done this is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And God set Him forth as a propitiation in His blood. And it's through faith that this is done from our end. And God is demonstrating His righteousness. Now let's just take these two texts, Romans 3, and cross-reference it with 2 Corinthians 5. And you will see what the grace of God is. From Romans 3, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When you cross-reference that with the text we read over in 2 Corinthians 5, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Redemption is through Christ Jesus. Reconciliation to God is through Christ Jesus. It all goes back to Christ crucified. Going back to Romans 3, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith. So again, what God did by grace, He gave Jesus His Son as a propitiation. Big Bible word, isn't it? Propitiation. How often do you hear people use that word walking down the sidewalk? What is a propitiation? A propitiation is when someone dies in your place, takes your punishment for you. If you go back to Corinthians, it says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us." That's propitiation. That's what God did by grace. He gave the sacrifice so that your sins could be forgiven. We have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. As I said, if we get what we deserve, we'll go to hell. How can I be with God? How can I go to heaven? Something's got to be done about my sins and your sins. What God did was by grace, because of the great love that He loved us, He gave His Son to die for you. That actually happened. It is real. It is the way God expresses His love to you. He wants you with Him. He wants you reconciled to be with Him. And He has redeemed you and purchased you with the blood of His Son, given as a propitiation. But notice back in Romans how it says, through faith. That's our end. What God did from His end, He did by grace. What we do by our end is through faith. Going back to Romans 3, verse 25, it says, to demonstrate His righteousness. You remember, all things are of God. God is demonstrating His righteousness. The way it's put in 2 Corinthians 5, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Again, it is God's righteousness. It is God that's making it possible for us to be righteous. How can you and I stand before God Almighty, who is holy, in the day of judgment, and have Him say to you and I, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You talking to me? How can you say that about me, well done, good and faithful servant, when I have sinned and I am unworthy of His presence?" It is through Christ crucified that God is demonstrating His righteousness. For us to be righteous, all things are of God. He's made it possible. Going back to Romans 3, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, the way it's put in 2 Corinthians, not imputing the trespasses to them. Again, the way you can stand before God, blameless, holy, and pure, is that you are forgiven. Let that sink in. You are forgiven. The sins are gone. They're remitted. They're washed away. But then when you go back to Corinthians, he talks again about that word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians, he says, he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. You find in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, "So now, brethren, I commend to you, to God, and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." I cannot overemphasize the importance of this point. The word of reconciliation is the word of His grace. It is the word of God. And the word of God is part of the grace of God. God even speaking to you is by grace. Any blessing God gives you is by grace. Now then, I'm trying to help you understand what grace is. Grace are all these spiritual blessings God has given us through Christ Jesus. Whether it be His Word, the privilege of prayer, or being able to be reconciled to God in the forgiveness of sins. All of that God did by grace. It wasn't because I was such a really good person. God said, "Wayne, I'm going to give this to you because you deserve it." No, no, no. From God's end, there is grace. That's how we're going to be saved. From our end, through faith. You are saved by grace through faith. Now let's take this text through faith and break it down and study it some. Romans 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Two things I want to get from this text. One, you are justified by faith. Now notice, please, very closely. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Let this sink in, please. You are saved by grace from God's end. From our end, we have access by faith into this grace. Let that sink in. From our end, we have access to this grace by faith. By faith. But how does faith come? Faith does not come by you driving down the street or driving down in our parking lot and having the Holy Spirit fall on you. Faith does not come by you being zapped with irresistible grace forcing you to believe. Faith comes through the grace-given Word of God. Romans 10, 17, so then by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Every human being who was ever going to have honest-to-goodness, real McCoy faith is going to come about that faith through the seed of the Word of God being planted in a good and honest heart. It does not come any other way. This is imperative to understand. Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. As we learned earlier in 2 Corinthians 5, He's given us the Word of reconciliation. And over in Acts 20 and 32, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. The Word of His grace, the Word of reconciliation, is the Word of God. And that's where your faith comes from. If your faith doesn't come from the Word of God, something's wrong with you. It doesn't come by you being zapped with some irresistible spirit. Now then, let's go back to this phrase, not of works. This is something that needs to be studied. And you need to understand what is being discussed here. Because sometimes you can go to another extreme. I want to ask you a question before I even get into this. Is there anybody here this morning who's doing the best you can to live by faith and walk by faith, and yet sometime in the privacy of your home, you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'm not going to go to heaven, I'm not good enough. I'm just not good enough. If you're thinking those thoughts ever, this part of the sermon is for you. Okay? That being said, let's get into the text. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 is where I would like to start to help you understand not of works, lest any man should boast. It says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. I want you to see that you're not going to be justified by the law. Any law. You're not going to go to heaven because you have kept the New Testament perfect. You are not going to go to heaven because you have finally reached perfection and you deserve it. Sometimes some of my brethren get across this idea that you've got to get to where you are perfect. And until you finally reach perfection, you're going to hell. And you've got to reach perfection, you've got to maintain perfection, and then you can go to heaven. If there's anyone here this morning that thinks you've reached perfection, you've deceived yourself. And if there's anyone here this morning that thinks you're going to earn heaven because you finally have made it, you've missed the Scriptures completely just as much as faith only. Because the idea of deserving to go to heaven is works only. And both of them are false doctrine. You are not going to be justified because you have finally perfected your life. It is not going to be by the law, but he says the just shall live by faith. There's a contrast here between this idea of I'm finally reaching and I have made it. Now, Lord, take me into heaven. And he explains, no, that's not the way it is. The just shall, notice this phrase, live by faith. Please look at that verb live. It is not, I'll do something right for a moment here and think about God for a moment here. And then next week at some time I'll think about God and do something driven by my desire to please God here. That's not Christianity. It is not points in time. It is your whole life. It is all-consuming, driving everything you do. It is why you do everything you do. It is by faith that you live and walk. It is a continual lifestyle, not momentary blips in time. Continuing with another text, Galatians 3, 21 through 22. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, surely truly righteousness would have been by the law. Now let's just stop right there. You need to understand that's any law. You're not going to be counted righteous because you have finally kept all the law perfectly. But he compares this and contrasts this, getting back to the text, he says, but the Scripture has confined us all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Do you see the contrast here again between the idea of there's a law out there and I'm living the law perfectly and finally I've reached it, so now I'm going to heaven. When you start thinking that way, that is where it starts coming in your mind. You start thinking, but I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. That's right. You aren't. Nope, you're not. And you never will be. And if anybody out there tells you they've reached it, they are lying to you. The man says he's without sin, he's a liar, and the truth isn't in him. Going back to Galatians chapter 2 now, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Again, do you see the contrast? A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. He says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. So again, it's by faith. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Including you. Including you. You're not going to go to heaven because you have finally reached perfection. And then maintain perfection. And when you start thinking that way, inside you're going to be eat up with fear. Because inside you're realizing, I'm not perfect. I still blow it. What if the Lord comes and I haven't reached perfection yet? Galatians 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You see, if you're going to earn salvation by law, you got to keep it all the time. Well, I've already blown it. It's over for me. I've already sinned in the past. So, from that point on, if I have any hope, it's going to be by grace. It's always going to be that way. You need to understand, you're not going to go to heaven because you deserve it. That's what he means when he says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Come judgment day, you're not going to say, Lord, give me what I deserve. Really? Even if you say that, you're going to hell. Because that's what we deserve. No one's going to be able to boast in Judgment Day because nobody's earned it. I want you to understand something. Your relationship with God, being reconciled to God, everything that you ever have in relationship with God and ever will have in relationship with God is by grace. There will never come a time, even when you are in heaven, when you will deserve to be there. Because your being there is by grace. Your existence there is by grace. Your whole relationship with God is by grace. So don't ever think that it's something that you finally have reached the point to where you deserve it. There's another verse I don't have on the outline, but I want to read it to you. It's over in 1 John chapter 3. It says, "For if our hearts condemn us," it's in verse 20, "God is greater than our hearts and knows all things." I read this verse because I think that verse describes this idea of I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm just not good enough. 1 John was given for you and for me when we have those thoughts. 1 John, in the very beginning, the first chapter, he says, "I write these things that your joy may be full." And in the fifth chapter, he says, "I have written these things that you may know that you have eternal life." He wants you to have confidence in knowing that you're saved. And so what he does there is he lays down four criteria in the book of 1 John that you can read and look at to know that you have eternal life. The first one is, do you actually believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If you answer that question, "I don't know," you're not saved. You answer that question, "No," you're lost. Because that's the very beginning of it all. Faith in Christ Jesus. And then, are you keeping His commandments by faith? If you say no, okay. By this you know that you know Him if you keep His commandments. If a man says, "I know Him," and does not keep His commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. The keeping of the commandments is driven by faith. It's driven by faith. Do you love the brethren? That's one of the criteria laid out in 1 John. If you love the brethren, the love of God is in you. If you don't love the brethren, you don't love God. And the fourth one is, when you sin, do you deal with it? The second chapter says, "I write these things that you may not sin, but if you do sin, you've got an advocate with the Father." And he talks about how if you take your sins, you confess them to Him. When you take the sin and you deal with it, that's part of living and walking by faith. Is when you do blow it, you ask God's forgiveness, and it is through the blood of Christ that you are forgiven by grace. You're never going to reach the point to where you finally are going to say, "Okay, I am finally perfect, and I finally deserve to go to heaven." Because if you ever think that, you've completely missed the definition of grace and don't understand where you are in your relationship with God. Let's go now to the last part of this. Created in Christ for good works. As I said, unfortunately, sometimes Calvinists stop at verse 9 and they don't read verse 10. And this is where they completely miss the definition of faith and understand the relationship of God through faith. We're going to go over to Romans chapter 4 now and look at this. Romans 4 verses 3 through 5. "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Okay, this is how righteousness is accounted to you. We're given the example of Abraham. He believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. This is the righteousness of God that we read about back in Romans 3 and 2 Corinthians 5. And he says, notice this in verse 4. "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." Now let's stop right there. This is what we're talking about over in Ephesians when we say, "Not of works as any man should boast." You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. If you think it is of yourselves, you're mistaken. If you think that you have finally reached it, so you deserve it, you are missing the point completely. Because it is then to come debt that is owed you because you deserve it. That is not what the Scriptures teach anywhere. That you are going to earn it because you deserve it. He says in verse 5, "But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Your faith is what gives you access to the grace of God by which you are saved. But please understand this. When people separate obedience from faith, they have misdefined faith completely. And that is what Calvinists do sometimes when they read that phrase, "not of works, lest any man should boast." They misdefine and misunderstand faith completely, just like they misdefine grace. In James chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, "Do you see that faith was working together with his works?" Now let's just stop right there. Here we're dealing with the relationship between faith and works to help us understand exactly what all of our actions and all of our works in our life are about as Christians. As we read earlier back in Ephesians, verse 10 of chapter 2, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So verse 10 is talking about all these great works and good works that the Lord is warning us to do. I want you to understand that all those good works come from the faith. All the good works come from the living and walking by faith. And here he's explaining that faith was working together with his works. And by works, faith was made, notice this word, complete, perfect. That is the kind of faith God wants. Not a dead faith, but a complete, perfect faith that is obeying. Verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." That's the exact same phrase we read back over there in Romans, isn't it? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So here again we're seeing how our faith is accounted to us for righteousness. And he says, "And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Now sometimes people read this and they go, "Wait a minute, doesn't that contradict what you just read back there in Romans?" No, it does not contradict at all. It is explaining. It is not faith only and it is not works only. Both of those are religious extremes. Works only is debt. You deserve it because you have finally reached it. You have kept the law perfectly. That ain't going to happen. And if you're thinking your relationship with God is that way, you're probably miserable because in your heart you know you're not. Perfect. So, righteousness was accounted to Abraham by faith that was working. It's put this way over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive his inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." Please look at those four words there. Those four words summarize the whole point I'm trying to get across of what faith we're talking about. By faith, Abraham obeyed. The obedience was driven by the faith. You have access to the grace of God by faith. Listen real close. You do not have access to the grace of God by works. Does that shake you when you hear that? I'll explain it to you. Baptism alone does nothing. There are some people who think baptism without faith will take care of people's sins. That's why they baptize babies. There's no faith required, just baptize them. That's works only. Works only. Works only is just as much a false doctrine as faith only. Because faith only leaves out obedience and works only leaves out faith. What the Lord desires of us is to live by faith and by that faith to obey Him. When you are keeping His commandments by faith, that living faith that you are walking and living by is giving you and I access to the grace of God by which we are saved. That is how righteousness is accounted to us, not because I have finally reached perfection, but because I am obeying by faith. Let that sink in. It is put this way in Galatians 5 and 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. That's it. That's it right there. Faith working through love. If you remove the faith and all you've got is works, that does not give you access to the grace of God. Being a good person does not give you access to the grace of God. What gives you access to the grace of God by which we are saved is faith. But you've got to understand what the grace of God is. How the grace of God was manifest and shown to you and I. It was shown to you and I through Christ crucified. God didn't give His Son to die on the cross because you and I deserve it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, according to Romans 5. God is not going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, because you have finally got to the point to where you deserve to go to heaven. That is where I think our fear comes from. Because we have come to believe that I'm going to earn it. And when you think you're going to earn it, you've missed it completely. Because you're not going to earn it. It's by grace you're saved. Through faith. But have a proper definition of grace. Have a proper understanding of faith. It's faith working through love. It's faith that obeys that gives you access to the grace of God. That's why I said, I quoted to you earlier from over in 1 John, the man says he knows Him and doesn't keep His commandments, he's a liar and the truth isn't in him. You see, hear His commandments and you go, yeah, that's what the Lord said. I ain't got to do that. Wait a minute. Come back here. You say you ain't got to do what He said do, and yet you believe and you believe and you have faith. Something's wrong there. The Lord says, you say you have faith, you know Him, you have a relationship with God, but you don't keep His commandments, you're a liar. Truth isn't in you. You see, the actions are the proof of what's in the heart. But it's what's in the heart producing the actions. It's the faith in the heart, the faith driving the actions, that is giving you and I access to the grace of our God by which we're saved. If you understand this, you'll understand the primary message of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why I said I consider this to be one of the most important sermons I've ever worked up. I've gone over 5 minutes. I don't care. Because I think this message is important enough for you to have me take my time to break it down for you. If there's anybody here this morning who is not a member of the body of Christ, if you're outside Christ, you're lost, you're condemned. Your sins are separating you from God. God loves you personally. He knows you individually. He loves you so much, He really did give His Son by grace to die on that cross at Calvary for you. It really happened. His love for you is real. You can be reconciled to God. Your sins can be forgiven. He has given us the word of reconciliation, the gospel of peace. Who do you believe Jesus is? That's where it starts. John says in the close of John that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through His name. If you don't know who Jesus is, you need to go to the Bible. You need to go to the Word. You need to read about the birth, the miracles, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and hopefully come to the conclusion that other Christians have come to, and that is, He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then be willing to openly confess your faith. And motivated by your faith, repent of your sins. And then by faith, submit to the command of the King and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then what you do in your life as a child of God is you take up your cross daily and you live. And you walk by faith. encompassing your entire relationship with everyone and everything. The reason we are here this morning is by faith. The reason we sang was by faith. The reason we take the Lord's Supper is by faith. The reason we give is by faith. Let faith be what's controlling your whole life. And when you have that relationship with God, you have access to His grace. And that's the way you're going to be saved. If you're a child of God, though, and you have gone into sin, you need to realize the blood of Christ is there. But if you do not have godly sorrow, and you do not care what sin does to your relationship with God, then you are walking in darkness now. You're walking in sin. If there's sin separating you from God, come back to the Lord. Come back to the Father. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. And then get your relationship with God to where, as I try to explain to you, it is an all-consuming relationship. And when you do sin, you take the sin to God, you ask forgiveness of it, and you get up. And you get back into the race. And you keep walking and running and living by faith. If you're a subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.